We need to have a serious talk about this crypto bull market, because when crypto bull markets end, or in fact, when any kind of bull market ends, there's no announcement that tells you that the bull market is over. What actually happens is that the prices start to go down. Then you get a little glimmer of hope and everyone goes, okay, we're going to be so back and the bull market's there. And then we go down again. And then we get another glimmer of hope and the rally continues, or the cycle continues, until about 5 or 6 months later, when we look back at the charts and we say, hold on a second, that we haven't had a higher high. And we've actually, whilst we thought we were in a bull market, we actually landed up in a bear market. And so I think today we need to have an honest discussion and discuss whether or not this bull market is still intact. I know we all want to believe that there is a crypto bull market now. I know we all want to believe that at some stage an alt season is going to come and save all our bags. But what if we are actually in a bear market? What if the crypto bull market is over? That's what we're going to discuss today. And the next thing that I want to discuss today is I want to discuss this chart over here. I want to discuss the Solana chart. It's now trading at $158. And it is down from its high. It's down 46% from the high. And people are now saying that this is pretty much the end of Solana. There are massive, massive, massive unlocks coming up in March, coming up for Solana. And so we need to discuss whether Solana could go back to $100 or whether this is all FUD. So listen, it's not the most glamorous show today. It's not the most fun show, but it's a straight talking show today, and one that I think that every single person needs to listen to. So if that sounds good to you, then you're welcome to stay till the end of the show. And if it doesn't, I can probably recommend 3 or 4 other crypto channels. No, joking. Rather just subscribe to the channel and let's get the show on the road. And if you do want recommendations for crypto channels, we'll talk about them at the end of the show. This market is so frustrating. It is so frustrating. We just can't catch a break. We literally just can't catch a break. On Friday, I want to remind you, we were almost at $100,000. Just look at that. Bitcoin was back. We were back, baby. $99,478. I was sure we were going to break $100,000. And then North Korea goes and hacks Bybit. And now the market looks like a shit show. I mean, it's unbelievable how 3 days ago, everyone was saying this is back. We were so fucking back that Josh sent me a message on Friday on the plane saying, bro, we are so back. That's right. Hey, Josh. Sounds about right. Josh was sending messages. Bro, we're so back. It's the bull market here. And then we had North Korea hack Bybit. And after that, the whole market basically fell into a heap. I actually want to see how the Nasdaq has opened, because on Friday we had a bit of a bloodbath on the actual stock markets, and now that, okay, we got the Nasdaq up half a percent. But we were so back on Friday, we had one hack, and now we're much lower than where we actually started. And it just really feels like we're entering this territory which is kind of reminiscent of how bear markets actually start. And as I said to you before, you always think that you're going to get this one pump up, and you just never get the one pump up. You never get that higher high. If you look at the Bitcoin chart, like, we've been going down and down and down, and we just can't get the higher high. But Bitcoin's not the problem. The altcoins are actually the ones that are the problems. We just can't get, you got the lower low, and then you got another lower low over here, and we just can't catch that break. So, I mean, we've got to have a discussion as to what does this actually mean for the bull market? Because we can keep sitting here and we can keep convincing ourselves that we are in a bull market, but maybe we're not in the bull market. That's what I want to talk about today. So if that sounds good to you, what I need you guys to do? I need you guys to obliterate that like button. You know that I've been doing shows every single day, except the one day where we had the banter party. I did a Twitter Spaces with Ben from Bybit on Saturday. I did one I did a show with Ben yesterday. Let me know what you guys thought of that show. And I've literally been working my ass off in this tough time in the market just to bring you guys all the information that you guys need to stay alive in this market. So if you like that, obliterate the like button. Let's start talking about what's actually happening in the markets today. As I said, we just can't break that 100,000 level. Now we're starting to go back down. You got Bitcoin very, very, very close to what Ben Kahn calls the bull market support bands. Now, when you get to the bull market support bands, it doesn't mean that it's the end of the bull market. It just means that sometimes you can go below these bull market support bands. You've got Solana under 160, believe it or not, down almost 50%. And on crypto Twitter, when you go into crypto Twitter now, it's a mix between salty cracks, which is basically people very, very, very salty about everything, fighting with everyone about everything. That's the one thing that's happening on crypto Twitter. And the other thing that's happening on crypto Twitter is people are turning to hope. People are turning to almost to the Lord for hope. And maybe we can save this. Maybe we can somehow save this bull market. This is what's pretty much going on out there. And I think the reality is we need to face the facts. This cycle is different. This cycle is not the same as every other cycle. Look at how the returns after the halving of previous cycles have been relative to this cycle. This cycle has pretty much had the worst returns after the halving so far. And if this cycle was similar to all the other cycles, then effectively what we'd get now is we'd get some kind of crazy, crazy, crazy breakout, which just hasn't happened. Also, by now, we would have had some kind of alt season. We haven't had this alt season that everybody's talking about. In fact, if anything else, we've just seen the prices of alts go down and down and down relative to Bitcoin. That's the red line over here, how the altcoins have performed relative to Bitcoin. At the same time, we have lingering inflation in the United States, and it's pretty serious inflation, right? It's like serious, serious, serious inflation. The Philadelphia Fed price paid index jumped 8.6 points in February to its highest points since October 2022. And there was another indicator that also said that we're going to get a lot of inflation. So it looks like inflation or lingering inflation is going to happen in the United States. And to make things worse, we also have inflation in Japan. Now, the problem with inflation in Japan is that they could increase the interest rate. And if they do start increasing the interest rates, then we could get another one of those Japanese cash and carry trade unwinding FUD sectors in the market. So I think what we need to realize is that we are not in a normal cycle. Someone says, once notorious for its persistent deflation, Japan's inflation rate rose to 4%, which is creating more pressure for rate hikes. So this ain't that normal cycle that we anticipated at all. In fact, what we have to be ready for is we have to be ready for the fact that maybe there won't be an alt season, and we have to be ready for the fact that maybe this bull market is actually over. It's possible. I'm not saying that that's the case, because remember, as I said to you before, when a bull market ends, it's not like they announce on Twitter, or it's not like that the Fed makes some announcement and says, hey guys, just so you know, the bull market is over now. It's just a case of prices going down, and then people holding on because they think prices will go up again, and prices continue to go down, and people hold on and think prices will go up again, and prices continue to go down. And then you look back after a couple of months and you say, hold on a second, wow. Like, by this time, you kind of know you're in a bear market, but by this time, you are 3-4 months into it, and you realize, damn, we've lost 50% of the market value in the last 3-4 months, and we're actually in a bear market. And so you constantly have to trade as if this is the end of the bull market. Now, do I think that this is the end of the bull market? Spoiler alert, no, I don't think this is the end of the bull market. If it is the end of the bull market, it would have been a very, very, very crazy bull market, because as Miles pointed out here, not a single bull market top metric has been hit. And he points out a whole lot of metrics here. I mean, really, the Pi cycle top indicator, the Pure multiple, the Bitcoin rainbow chart. He goes through all of these indicators. And no matter how you look at all of these indicators, it doesn't feel like, or it doesn't look like, any of them have topped. And I mean, that's the same as our indicators. When we had Ben Kahn on the show and our own indicators, we looked at a whole lot of indicators. And when you look at those indicators, not a single one of those indicators indicates that the bull market has topped. But as I said before, you have to trade as if the bull market has ended, because that's the only way to save your portfolio. Because if you go into full risk mode now and the bull market has ended, you're going to be holding the worst altcoins, and you could wait years if ever your coins actually come back. And so, as Glenn says in the comments here, the idea is to start playing defensive. And when I say start playing defensive, the idea is to be buying quality, right? Because what we know right now is that this cycle ain't the same as any other cycle. And I explain to you why this cycle ain't the same as any other cycle. If you think about previous crypto cycles were the price of Bitcoin went up, then the gains in the Bitcoin flowed into ETH. Then the gains in ETH flowed into altcoins. But in this cycle, that ain't going to happen. The money is flowing into Bitcoin. That money that's flowing into Bitcoin is coming from the ETFs. And that is dictated much more by the TradFi market. And it's not going to flow into your altcoin bags. The money from Bitcoin ain't going to go and pump up your altcoin bags. I'm 100% convinced that Bitcoin will have a very, very long and sustained bull market. And I don't think we're anywhere near the top for the bull market. But I don't think that that's going to help your altcoin bags. I think when it comes to altcoins, there's completely different dynamics at play. Example, right now, if you look at the number of coins that have been launched, it just shows you this. This shows you that there's 39 million, almost 40 million coins. That's not the same as the 2020, 2021 bull market when we had less than a million coins. It's a completely different makeup of the market, right? And the people that have actually come into crypto, the retail money, because remember, to have a sustained alt season, what you need is you need retail money to be coming in more than the number of coins in the market to push up the prices in the market, right? And so that was possible in 2020 and 2021 when you had like 400,000 coins and 200 million people in the market. But now, let's say you still have 200 million people in the market, but you have 40 million coins. And it's just mathematically impossible for all coins to go up. And so when people speak about an alt season, and they say, oh, when is alt season coming? What they mean is that all coins land up getting a massive pump. I don't think we're going to get that type of alt season. I'll show it to you graphically. Here's a very good way to look at it graphically, where green is the 2020 where we are today, and purple is what happened in 2020, right? And what you can see, this is the trading volume, the trading volume, and you can see that in terms of price changes, this was a much, much, much more aggressive market. And the reason why this was a much, much, much more aggressive market, less coins plus more people. In this market, we have more coins and more people. And the number of coins has gone up exponentially. And so the reality is that if you think that this market is going to be the same as every other market, or we're going to get a bull market the same as every other bull market, specifically on altcoins, I think fundamentally that can never, ever, ever happen. However, I do think that we're going to enter bull markets like normal market bull markets. So when I say like normal market bull markets, when you look at the NASDAQ, when you look at the at stock markets, when they have a bull market, it doesn't mean that every stock runs. It means that in some cases, biotech runs. In some cases, internet stocks run. In some cases, mining stocks run. And so different sectors run at different times, and each sector has its bull market in a very different time. Yes, of course, you get periods where markets just move up and markets just move down. But in general, what you get is you get certain sectors that move up at certain times. And so you've got to be almost aligned, or you've got to take multi-year bets and say, I'm buying something and I'm holding it because I just think that over time, it's going to really change the world and go from a certain point to a certain point in the charts. And then you've got to become a multi-cycle investor. But what you can't be doing is playing this market and waiting for this proverbial alt season, because this proverbial alt season just ain't going to come. Here's where I think it's going to happen. Here's what I actually think it's going to happen. In fact, maybe the idea is to look at where we are now. So let's quickly just look at where we are now. Number one, if you look at this tweet from the February 9th, this tweet analyzed how altcoins had done relative to their price at the election. And what you can say is that nearly 70% of altcoins on February 9th were trading lower than they were before the election, which means that since the election, whereas Bitcoin has gained about, in fact, let's work it out exactly. Let's be a little bit more mathematical about this. But let's go to here. And let's just work out since the election, how has Bitcoin done? Quickly just wait for this chart. Okay, so if we go to November 5th and we look at how Bitcoin's done since November 5th, very slow today, wow. November 5th, let's just quickly go to November 5th, it's somewhere here, and we look at how Bitcoin has done since November 5th. Bitcoin's up 41%, but when you look at the altcoins, it's a very different picture. 70% of the altcoins have given back their gains, and we did this table for you guys back then, but since then, Solana is almost given up all of, I mean, just get this. Solana is one of the tokens that was cited as a security under the old Biden administration, and Solana is now 1% away from its, in fact, actually, it's now, this was done before the show. Actually, when I look at it now, Solana is now below the price it was on the 5th of November and the election. And the same thing, Radium has now gone below. And very, very, very few coins have managed to keep their gains since the election. And to me, that means that we've probably had one of the biggest reversals. And again, why? Because I want to put this into perspective for you. We had probably the worst administration for crypto ever in the history of crypto, right? In the short history of crypto. We probably had the worst administration for crypto ever. That administration specifically pointed out that certain tokens were probably going to be securities and they were going to get regulated under the very irrational SEC. Now you're at a point where the same securities which were going to be regulated as securities under the SEC are trading at the same price that they were when the Biden administration came into power. Came out of power and the Trump administration came into power. Does that sound logical to you? I don't know. Does that sound logical to you? It doesn't sound logical to me either. It shows to me, remember that we are now at pre-Trump levels on Solana, which is, you could argue, the best blockchain out there or the most used blockchain out there, right? And a blockchain that was cited as a security. Now the changes have been made, the governments have changed, the new SEC has come in, and Solana is trading at the same price that it was trading before the new administration came into power. That just isn't normal. That just doesn't sound right. That sounds like the market has overextended on its way down. And then when you read that and you read this tweet, it says the biggest sell-offs come right before the biggest reversals. It happened in 2020. It happened in 2022. It does feel now like this market, these market losses, specifically on altcoins, have extended a little bit too far, and that the market is starting and that the sell-off is taken has gone for a little bit too long. If you want to look at some of the charts, I read this chart, which was a very interesting chart. It says Bitcoin is currently producing its fourth straight red Heiken Ashi candle, which is one of the longest streaks during this bull market. These streaks have been a sign of recalibration before another rally. So if you start looking at the charts, it looks like there's some kind of reversal that's imminent. Also, what I know is usually at the bottom of a cycle, we get a massive hack. I don't know why. Don't ask me why it happens. But I remember the Bitfinex was somewhere near the bottom of the cycle. The FTX hack was, well, when you say hack, it's not really hack, but it was a exchange collapse was at the bottom of the cycle. And this week we had one of the biggest exchange hacks. So that usually happens towards the bottom of the cycle. I also know that we've got the not QE, QE underway. So remember we had the Treasury General Account, which was about $842 billion, $842 billion. That is starting to hit the market right now. It's already starting to hit the market. And that is like $1 trillion worth of stimulus or $1 trillion worth of liquidity generated into the market. I also know that the Fed has indicated that they're going to stop tightening the balance sheet and there's going to be liquidity. And there's going to be, right now they're taking liquidity out the market, but later on in the year, based on the Fed minutes, they're going to stop doing QT. Now, I'm not expecting QE, but I am expecting QT to end. The other thing is, if you're looking at the dollar index, what you can see is that the Dixie is also starting to break down. And so Whereas on the one side, it does feel like prices are going down and down and down. On the other side, when you start looking at what's actually going on, the Dixie is starting to break down. The QT is starting to it is going to end. There is this stimulus coming into the market from the TGA. And at the same time, we haven't really had any of the signs of a market top. Like, we haven't had any of the signs of the market top, which I think we listed over here, which Miles listed over here, right? We haven't had any of those. So it would be pretty strange if this was the end of the bull market. Also, having been here for two other bull markets, I can kind of tell you that this never felt like the end of a bull market. It never felt like the peak of a bull market. We didn't have any of the euphoric behavior, although there was some euphoric behavior in one sector, which was meme coins. We didn't have any of the euphoric behavior. We didn't have any of that. So it doesn't feel like this is very much the end of a bull market. And the truth is that if that is your thesis, that it isn't really the end of the bull market, then your thesis should also be that you should be looking to buy things that are oversold, things where there's probably a little bit too much pain at the moment, but still defensively good. So when I say things where there's too much pain and still defensively good, I mean, like, let's take an example, Solana, right? So I look at Solana and I say, this has got to be somewhere near a point of max pain for Solana. Why? Down 50% from its highs. There's massive, massive, massive unlocks which are coming up, and the market is petrified of these unlocks. It's also starting to be at a point where it's pretty much peak FUD. I mean, look at this. This is like a peak FUD. You've got Sol ETH very much on what they call the final support, because if it breaks down below this support, you're talking about going back down. This line kind of extends all the way down to there. And so this is the uptrend of Sol versus ETH. And right now we're at a very, very, very critical point where this has to bounce if it's going to maintain its Sol ETH. When you compare the Sol BTC chart, which is this chart over here, I want to show you this chart over here. This is the Sol BTC chart. When you look at the Sol BTC chart, also not a very healthy looking chart. It's broken down below a lot of key levels. You can see that this in particular, and I think I put this on a 3-day just to make it look, there we go. So it did break down below this critical level. And now what Ben Cowan is saying, and Ben Cowan has been quite right for quite a long time, he says, this Sol BTC chart is starting to look very, very, very much like the ETH BTC chart. And we know that ETH holders have basically taken a whole lot of pain. And so to me, what it feels like is, it really feels like we are entering peak FUD season on Solana. You can see it here. There's like this guy saying, if Sol BTC area doesn't hold, granted the unlock in 5 days, then the Sol USD chart is going to go under 100 or go way below 100. You can see that sentiment on Solana has been really bad. You can see that the funding rates on Solana have gone negative, which means that a lot of people are starting to take shorts on Solana right now. And if you are actually holding Solana, you are actually getting paid to go long. Literally, if you're holding Solana, you're getting paid interest to hold the Sol. But the thing is, when I look at the fundamentals and I look at the usage, it's giving you a very different story. Solana is still the king. Yes, of course, it's decreasing, but every single blockchain is decreasing right now. And so to me, if you believe that this bull market is going to continue, then what you want to be doing is you want to be buying assets when there's peak FUD. I'm looking at Solana and I'm saying, look, I don't know exactly when the bottom's going to come, but I do know that there's really only one blockchain that is fast and has mass adoption, and that's Solana. And right now we're getting into a situation where there's peak FUD on the Solana market. And I think in a couple of days, the unlocks will actually happen. When those unlocks actually happen, I think the market may realize that most of those unlocks were actually hedged and that the effect on the market is not actually that bad. And then they'll come back to their senses and say, oh, hold on a second. Maybe Solana isn't just around meme coins. Maybe there's a whole big other ecosystem that is actually built on Solana, which is really everything that is being built on blockchain is being built on Solana at the moment, because it is the only chain with mass adoption that is really, really, really fast and really, really, really cheap, right? And so to me, I do believe that that meme coins have been a fundamental part of Solana, but I don't think that Solana is about meme coins. I think meme coins were experimentation for whatever we're going to have going forward, whether it's social currency, AI agents, a whole lot of other things. And I think that Solana was just, that was just a use case on Solana. Now, the problem is, here's the problem. The problem is that people are pricing Solana as if Solana is pump.fun. Literally, people are saying, we're pricing Solana as if Solana is just meme coins and just pump.fun. And what we know is that there's been a lot of fuckery that's been going on with pump.fun. Pump.fun effectively, I think it blew itself up. It made it, I think the level that people went to launch meme coins was absolutely crazy. I did want to show you something. I'm not going to show it to you. You can go and check it out at your own time. It's about, you can go and check it out. Really, 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 you can go and check it out at your own time. You saw the thing. I'm not going to play it on YouTube. You're not allowed to play things like that on YouTube. But it's, what's the word that you're allowed to use? So someone unalived himself. Yeah, someone basically unalived himself, because you're not allowed to say the other word on YouTube. Someone unalived himself live and told people to launch a meme coin, and people launched a meme coin on pump.fun, and people started to speculate on this meme coin, and it actually started to trend, believe it or not. So I do think that that is the end of the pump.fun cycle, but that to me is not the end of the Solana cycle, because I think there'll be multiple other cycles that happen on Solana, which are not related to every idiot just launching a meme coin, or to a bunch of insiders just launching a bunch of insider cabaled meme coins, right? I think that that cycle is pretty much finished. And that brings me to the next token, which I think is really a good buy at the moment. So either goodbye or goodbye. I don't know. Goodbye or goodbye. One of the two. And that is Radium. So I don't know if you saw this, but Radium got really, really, really badly hit. It's this red candle over here. Why? Because there was an announcement that pump.fun is testing an in-house AMM to potentially replace Radium as their party provider. So that, for those of you who don't know how pump.fun works, you go to pump.fun, right? Let me just quickly show you how this works. I think it's important that you understand this. And actually, I think that most people actually haven't used pump.fun before. I've got to ask you an honest question. Have you actually used pump.fun before? What do you use more, Radium or pump.fun? What do you use more, Radium or pump.fun? Radium. Josh, what do you use more, Radium or pump.fun? So I actually tweeted about this. I can't get used to calling Twitter X. I still always write Twitter. So ask people, what do you use more, pump.fun or Radium? You can see that most people actually use Radium much more than they use pump.fun, right? And so this is where I think the market is absolutely, absolutely wrong. It's pricing in Radium as if Radium is just a function of pump.fun. Why do I say that? Because if you look at Radium's pump.fun tokens as a total volume of Radium volume, it's about 25%. And Radium dropped about 25% on the news that pump.fun was launching its own DEX. But I think the market's wrong here. And the reason why I say I think the market's wrong here, the market is a forward-looking vehicle. Forward-looking, if pump.fun today accounts for 25% of Radium's and Solana, and therefore by extrapolation, Solana's volume, it doesn't mean that in the future, one app around one use case, which is meme coins, was always going to account for 25% of the volume of Solana. And so I think that the market is making a huge mistake by dumping Radium 25%, because one app, which currently today accounts for 25% of the volume of the tokens on Radium, and therefore I think 25% of the tokens on pump.on Solana, right? I don't think that the market is being rational by knocking Radium down so much. And I think that even if pump.fun launches its own DEX and the coins graduate, because yeah, basically you launch a coin, when it gets a certain market cap, it graduates onto Radium and you can trade it on Radium. Now what pump.fun is saying is, no, we'll launch it onto our own pump.fun DEX. Okay, now I don't believe that one app that is currently accounting for 25% of the volume in a narrative which in my mind is actually declining, which is meme coins, should knock the entire Solana trading volume DEX value by 25%. And so I think the market is wrong on this one. I think that, yes, it will be a short-term knock if they actually do it. But I think we're not betting on Solana because we're betting on meme coins. We're betting on Solana because we're betting on anything that there's that fast blockchains do. And I don't think that people will go, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a very small chance that I'm wrong. But I don't think that people are going to just go to the pump.fundex and go and trade Render or any other Solana-based token. I think that's going to be based on specifically on stuff that's happening on pump.fund. That's why I said in Front Runners earlier today, I said, guys, I'm buying some Radium here. I ended up picking it up at about $3. I didn't manage to pick it up because I was typing to you guys on Front Runners. I said, I'm buying some Radium here. The market is punishing it because pump.fund launched its own, or it may launch its own DEX. I think the market is being short-sighted pricing Radium on the current narrative and not on future narratives. And I like these panic sells. And so what I've ended up doing is actually buying a whole new big bag of Radium. So I also wanted to show this. It says, Decrypt reporting the facts about the proposed rumor of pump.fund AMM. Hardly any coins make the transfer to Radium's liquidity pools 1.4%. So not a great loss when you dig deeper. It is a great loss currently when you dig deeper. But I don't think that you can price a whole protocol and the biggest DEX on a blockchain based on the one narrative. So I think that's a big mistake. The other thing which, I mean, so to me, what I like doing is, I like this tweet because I think this is the tweet that really guides me when I invest. It says, often the moment you feel like giving up on your coins is the moment you should actually be buying and vice versa. The best long-term buys I've done are the ones where I did feel sick in my stomach from all the pain we endured in the weeks before. On the other side, the worst buys were generally the ones where you feel you don't earn enough after price has already gone up. And I think that this is honestly, the ultimate thing to do. Right now, it feels very uncomfortable buying Radium. It feels very uncomfortable buying Solana. But this is the time when I think you should be buying. And I remind you that on Friday, when we had one green candle on Bitcoin, we had one green candle. We were at 99,000. Everything was rallying and we thought we were back. And so I think it comes down to literally getting one green candle. And then all of these things turn. Now, the question is, when these things turn, what do you want to be holding? Do you want to be holding Solana or do you want to be holding ETH? Do you want to be or something else? Look, I'm not writing off ETH completely. There was a lot of buying pressure on ETH this weekend because Bybit had to close their short position. I think they've pretty much closed their short position now. I do think that at some point an ETH narrative can come back. I would still rather be holding Solana. I don't know about you. I'd still rather be holding Solana. So I think, look, when you feel uncomfortable, that is when you actually want to be buying. I don't think this bull market is actually over. Maybe it is, and I'm trading as if it may be because I want to be in quality that I'm happy to hold for a long period. What I actually think is going to happen is I think we're just going to have a much longer, much more gradual bull market that actually happens. And I don't think that there's going to be this four-year cycle anymore. And so you need to get smart. You need to start learning the fundamentals. And the market is going to reward you for actually doing proper research and buying proper things. That's pretty much what's going to happen. And so right now, be buying quality when it feels uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to buy Solana now, I'm buying Solana. It's very uncomfortable to buy Radium now, I'm buying Radium. It's very uncomfortable. I saw another one, Ox.fun. There were insolvency allegations. A guy called the Jeff Dow deposited $1 million, apparently was caught for market manipulation, and so they withheld his $1 million. And now he's sending out messages around Ox.fun that they're insolvent and that hit the price. You know what I did this morning? I bought. Why? Because spoke to the guys at Ox. Said the coin's down 40%. Spoke to the guys at Ox. Guys, are these rumors true? No. The guy actually admitted on his spaces that it's not true. Okay, cool. Great. Then landed up. I went and bought it. Now, I may be wrong, but I'm happy to take the chance when it feels uncomfortable to take the chance. That is pretty much how I trade. And I think that you should be doing something very, very similar. Also, I want to just quickly I think we've got to spend a lot of time talking about safety and cybersecurity. After this hack, I think we need to have a talk here. You want to keep your crypto safe. You have to keep your crypto safe. I think what we're realizing now is that, you know, there's two ways to lose your crypto. One, you can lose it on trades and bad investments. The other way to lose your crypto is to be hacked, is to lose it because of negligence. And I don't know if you guys saw, but I really encourage you to go and read this. And I will spend some time on it as well. But CZ actually updated his original 2020 post. He updated it. It's called Keep Your Crypto Safe. And he really talks about every single step. We'll actually do a full show about this, about how to keep your crypto safe. And he talks about like sterilizing your computer, having a different phone for your 2FA. It's a very, 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 very good post. I do want to, on the week where Bybit was hacked, on the week where our friend at House of Crypto was actually hacked, I don't know if you guys watched the video. I watched it. I mean, not cool to see your buddy.
This is an emergency video, and it's one that I really didn't want to make. Yesterday, my computer got hacked. Not only have I lost tens of thousands of dollars, which I'll tell you about in this video and how it all happened, but most importantly for you right now, my Twitter page is not under my control. House of Crypto.
He got hacked. It just shows that everybody can get hacked. I keep saying to you guys, I'm not shutting your VPN. In fact, I don't even know if there's a VPN link here, but I am telling you guys, start thinking about safety. Number one, get yourself a cold ledger wallet, a hardware wallet, a wallet that's not stored on your laptop, that if your laptop does get hacked, they cannot access your crypto. You need to get yourself a hardware wallet. If you're in crypto, please get a hardware wallet. If you want to support the channel, that's great. If you don't, just go to Ledger and get it from Ledger. But get yourself a hardware wallet and get into the habit of actually using hardware wallets. So let me just quickly just get it here for you, just to show you where you need to go. So number one, hardware wallet. Here we go. Number one, get yourself a hardware wallet. Must get a hardware wallet. Here it is. There's a link here to get yourself a hardware wallet. Number two, I spoke about this product yesterday. Product's called Kerberos. What it does is you get a Chrome extension. Now, you don't pay for this. There's no subscription that you pay every single month. What this is actually doing, it is reading the code of the website to find out if the website has a draining mechanism on any of the wallets, right? On any of your wallets. So basically, it's not working off a blacklist. What it's doing is it's actually in real time while you're on a website, it is reading the code of the website to see if there is a wallet drainer on that website. That's just one of the features that it has. So it's a Chrome extension that actually protects you. Now, I really believe that you need to have this. They don't charge you a monthly subscription. What they do is they take a very, very, very small percentage of fees when you trade on certain DEXs using the protection that they use. And I really think that you need to start protecting yourself or something like that. Again, if you want to try it and you want to support the channel while you're doing it, just go here, click on this link and just try it. But I do think that we're seeing now that you need to have a lot of protection when it comes to your crypto. It's not a joke. The stakes are becoming really, really, really high. It's not a joke anymore. And so please protect yourselves. I will do a full show on protection. In the meantime, just get yourself a ledger. Just go and sign up with Kerberos. Someone says, look at the markets. I see 94.507. Let's see what the stock market's actually doing. So I think the stock markets have swung from, they were 0.5% positive, and now they're 0.5% negative, right? Yeah, I think that's what's happened. Yeah, let's have a look. Yeah, I see that. Oh, okay. And the SEC's closed the investigation into Robinhood. That's quite big news. I mean, again, they're just dropping all these investigations. Again, I think that the fundamentals can't remain detached for very much longer. And I think I don't think the bull market's over. I think the fundamentals just simply can't remain detached for much longer. All right. I'll see you guys again tomorrow. Normal show tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.